the notes get passed out this morning? The note papers for the kids? Okay, Danny's going to pass those out. Thanks, Danny. Okay, this morning, a few weeks ago, I had talked about don't be afraid. This morning, I want to talk about don't be troubled. And I really appreciated that song, Be Still My Soul. And if you notice, it talked about a lot of difficulties, winds, waves, all kinds of things that come along. And so, just wanted to have us think about that this morning. First of all, I want to read just a couple of verses out of John 14 and 15. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I'm going into chapter 16, the end of chapter 16 there, verse 33. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. He didn't say maybe. He said you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And it's interesting, this phrase, be of good cheer, he uses in a number of situations that were all difficult. Paul, when he was shipwrecked, in the process of shipwreck, told the sailors, he said, be of good cheer. I've talked to the Lord. And he said, everything's going to be okay. And the Lord told Paul, be of good cheer. He was in jail. He said, be of good cheer. You're going to go to Rome, to prison there, to present the gospel. So that's an interesting phrase. That was actually the phrase that caught my attention as I began to prepare for this. But I want us to think about these. Don't be troubled. Be courageous and confident. So let's just think about this a little bit this morning. What is my response to the world situations around me? You say, well, COVID wasn't so bad. I was still able to be out and about. I was still able to work some. My needs were met. All of this. But this riot thing, that one's bothering me. To see people just burning and looting and killing policemen and all of this kind of stuff, that one's bothering me. Or maybe some other situation that you're facing is bothering you. What is my response? So, and another question that goes with that is, how is my response different from those around me who aren't saved? And that's in my mind one of the most important questions that we can ask ourselves. So, when I start talking with my neighbor or a person I meet along the way, is my conversation, is my response to all of these things to go over the latest conspiracy theory, to talk about how awful all of these things are, or is my response a response of hope, of courage, of confidence? I think we need to ask ourselves that question. What do I have to offer those who are troubled and fearful? If you had a neighbor that was had told you they're considering suicide because of all that they see happening, what would you have to say to them? What would you have to give them that would give them hope and courage to continue to live? Am I able to find peace in the middle of all of this? Do I lay awake at night for long periods of time thinking about what all these things mean and what they might mean and where they might go and what might happen and all of that? Or am I able to lay down and lay everything down at the feet of Jesus and take His peace for my heart and rest? What would it take to change my outlook on life from troubled to courageous and confident? Now, the last time I preached, I did a story instead of the questions. Today I'm going to do both. I'm going to do the questions and a story. Today I'm Judas. Who knows who Judas is? Any of you know me? What did Judas do? No, I didn't. Anybody know who I am? Okay, that's somebody else too. Thought you guys might know me a little better than that. I'm actually a disciple of Jesus. There were two Judases. I'm the other Judas. Okay? Maybe you know me better if I give you my nickname, Thaddeus. I was born in a Jewish family. My parents were God-fearing. They were very caring and devoted people. My name, Judas, means Jehovah leads. Jehovah leads. And it's interesting that in the time that my parents lived, the time when they were looking for the Messiah, when God had not spoken for 400 years, that my parents were ones who said, we're going to name our child Jehovah Leads. My mother was a very caring woman and loved me deeply. And because of that, I got two nicknames. One of them is Labius, and one of them is Thaddeus. The nickname Labius means heart child. The nickname Thaddeus means breast child. And I got that nickname because my mother didn't wean me until later than normally would have happened. And I got teased a lot about that as a child. I always had a tender heart, probably because of my connection with my mother. I was a quiet, soft-spoken person, and I always spent a lot of time thinking about the Messiah coming, and I wondered what that was going to be like, and I knew in my heart that when He came, I wanted to follow Him. I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to see our people freed from the Roman slavery and occupation. And so one day I was out and about, and a man. His name was Jesus. He said, come, follow me. And something about the way he said that, I just knew that I had to do that. And so I started to follow him. And I began to listen to his teachings. And he had some very, very interesting teachings. I got to watch some amazing things. One day we were out along the seashore and out into the wilderness, and it was a long day and people were there, and it was time to eat. And there was no food. There weren't any stores close by to buy food. There was no food in the area growing that we could eat. And so we went to Jesus and we said, what are we going to do? These people need some food. Shall we send them away somewhere to get food? And he said, no. He said, what do we have? So we checked around, and there was one boy. I don't know where the rest of the moms were that morning, that only one boy had a lunch with him. You know, moms are always so good about making sure their kids have food. And there was one boy. He had these five little loaves, barley loaves, and two small fishes. We went and told Jesus, here's all we have. What's that? What good is that going to do? Lunch for one boy, and there's 5,000 men plus women and children. And Jesus said, well, you get that, bring it to me, and you get everybody to sit down, and we'll feed them. And so he took the bread and the fish and he blessed it. And he gave us each five loaves and two fishes. I don't know how he did it. He had five loaves and two fishes. And then he gave us each five loaves and two fishes. And we started to pass out to the people. And we still had five loaves and two fishes. And we just kept passing out. And we still had... It was just incredible. And finally I got to the last people I was passing out to. And just as I finished up, I had five loaves and two fishes. Just enough for me. And we all sat and ate. And everybody had all they wanted. And then he said, you go around and pick up all the leftovers. And we went around and we got 12 baskets full. Each of us had our own basket of food to last us for another day. It was amazing. And we thought to ourselves, this has to be the Messiah. It's got to be the Messiah. And then one day, we got word that our friend Lazarus was sick. We often went to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. And they had called or sent word and said Lazarus was sick. And Jesus said, oh, we'll wait. We'll stay here a little longer. And finally we started toward their place, and then we got word that he had died. And Jesus said, no, don't worry, he's just sleeping. And we thought, well, I guess he'll be all right then if he's sleeping. And when we got there, they were mourning. He had died. And I didn't understand all of that, but here was another amazing thing. Jesus went to the tomb and he said, he prayed and in a loud voice he said, Lazarus, come forth. And just like that, Lazarus came walking out of the grave. Alive. Just incredible things. And then Jesus started to talk to us in the passage that I read this morning and looked into. In John 14, 15, 16 in there. Jesus started talking to us about that he was going to leave. And the only time that I ever really spoke up in all of this, and I said, Lord, You're not going to take this message to the rest of the world? I was thinking about people that needed to know about this Messiah. And I was thinking about what my position was going to be too in this new kingdom and what was happening with that if he was going to leave. Me and the other guys, we got into it quite a bit. I wasn't going to be the low guy in the kingdom. I was going to have a place, if you know what I mean. And I guess the other guys felt the same way because we got into it quite a bit. But I just couldn't imagine that he was going to leave when he had just set himself up perfectly to go to all the world around and people would recognize him. He'd do miracles and things just like I described to you, and people would say, "Oh, it's the Messiah," and we would be free. Wow. And I just didn't know what to do with that. But he talked to us a lot in that last time about how difficult life was going to be for us and how that really didn't matter. How, in spite of the difficulties, we could have peace. He even told us that we were all going to forsake him. We were going to scatter and run. And of course, Peter, you know, he was always speaking up, and he told him he wasn't gonna. He's sticking with him. And Jesus said, "No, you're gonna." And then he was crucified, tried and crucified. And we all ran. We watched from a long ways away. We were scared. Oh, we were scared. But after Jesus arose and appeared to us and talked to us and told us to wait for the Holy Spirit, and after the Holy Spirit came down and came upon us and we began to speak boldly the gospel wherever we went and saw people healed and saved and ministered to, and then we spread out. And I went into the northern area, into Turkey, Edra area, Adira area. And I spent the rest of my life there telling about Jesus. And I gave my life as a martyr in that area. Just a very little that we know about Judas or Thaddeus. There's only one time that he is mentioned as speaking, and that's the time I mentioned it's there in John 14, I believe, where he wondered how this was going to be, why he wasn't going to present himself to the world. But there's something that I noticed, several things that I noticed. One thing I noticed just this morning as I was looking at these passages that I had never paid attention to before. And that is, remember that chapter headings are only added for our benefit. So chapter 14 breaks into something. Chapter 13 is where we have the foot washing ceremony and Passover. And at the end of chapter 13, Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, you are going to deny me three times." And the first verse of chapter 14 is, "Let not your heart be troubled." We always slice that in half and totally separate it. Never, you know, I don't think it's ever crossed my mind to connect those two verses before. But they're pretty powerful. Pretty important. Peter, you're going to not deny me three times. But don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's pretty amazing. Well, that's just kind of a side note that comes. Chapter 14, 15, and 16 are what we call the Lord's discourse on the Sermon on the Mount. His discourse to the disciples after Passover. And chapter 17 is his high priestly prayer. In chapter 14, 15, and 16, he uses a number of phrases. And they're important phrases. We want to look at them. I think they relate very well to where we're living. So there's the word troubled. It's the exact same word we saw a few weeks ago when we looked at the crippled man that was laying by the pool of Bethesda. And he was waiting because an angel came and troubled the waters. The waters, instead of being calm and smooth, would all of a sudden start to boil or roil or move. And so he says, he uses this word troubled. I thought it was interesting that it's also related to mob sedition. Fits into our day really well, doesn't it? Don't let your heart be troubled. Then there's the word tribulation. The main meaning of that word tribulation is pressure. In this world, you are going to have pressures. Okay? Distress, affliction. But be of good cheer or have courage. Now, I want us to notice, Jesus said there's a number of things that are going to happen. He told the disciples in these chapters, these things are going to happen to you as believers. Okay? Chapter 15, 19, the world's going to hate us. Verse 20, going to persecute us. Chapter 16, 2, put you out of the synagogue and even kill you. In chapter 16, verse 20, you're going to weep, you're going to lament, you're going to be sorrowful. So all these things are things that are going to happen to us. They're going to come from the world around us. Okay? This world includes the religious world. In fact, it primarily came from the religious world. It includes social systems. It includes political world. It includes spiritual, the principalities and powers of this world. So Jesus says, in this world, you are going to have pressures, troubles, agitations, difficulties. They may come from religious places. They may come from social places. They may come from political places. They may come from spiritual places. Expect it. It's normal. It's what happens when you follow me. This is the message that he brings to them. Don't get alarmed. Don't let your heart get all stirred up like boiling water. I'm letting my peace with you. I'm giving my peace to you. You don't have to face these things with a troubled heart. You can face them in confidence and courage. Because I'm with you. I'm not leaving. I'm going away. But I'm sending the Comforter. So let's just look real quickly at the promises that he gives in all of this. So in 14, 3 and 4, I'm preparing a place. I will come and take you to that place. I'm preparing it for you. Chapter 14, 13 and 14. If you ask anything in my name, you will receive it. He's giving these promises interspersed with all that he's telling them is going to happen. So there's going to be this tribulation. The world's going to hate you. It's okay. I'm making a place for you, and I'm going to come and take you to where I am. The world's going to take away what you have. That's okay. You ask in my name, and you'll receive. 14, 16, and 17. When I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come and stay with you. 14:27. I'm giving you my peace. I give you my peace. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I'm giving you my peace. Chapter 15, he talks about that we'll bear fruit. Chapter 16, verse 20, he says your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. In verse 22 there, you'll see me again. There'll be rejoicing, there'll be joy. In verse 33, you'll have peace in me. And in chapter 17, when he's praying for us, you'll be with me where I am and with the Father, and you'll behold all the glory. Now I want us to just think about this just a minute, about what this all means for us. So he says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, if there's a big bully, and he's coming, and he's got his eyes on you, and you know nothing good is going to come out of this, and all of a sudden someone comes up alongside of you and says, don't be afraid of him, I whipped him so hard and so bad, it's not even worth talking about. And he's standing there with you, what are you going to do? You going to run? You going to be afraid? No. You're going to stand as close as you can and say, oh, okay, nothing with this. We've got this, right? That's the picture. That's the picture. So all of these things, the religious things, the social things, the political things, the spiritual things, all that can come against us, he has already overcome. He hasn't destroyed them. Remember when we talked about Colossians 2:15, how he said that, Paul writes and he says that Christ has defeated the principalities and powers. He's spoiled them. He's made a show of them openly, and in front of everybody, he beat them down. And now he's saying, don't be troubled. You're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Take courage, comfort. I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, I get to say what you have. Right? It's not what the world says I'm going to have that I have. It's what he says I have. And he says, I give you my peace. I give you my peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see a lot of signs around. Jesus is greater than COVID-19. Absolutely. Jesus is greater. They don't see signs like this, but it fits. It's true. Jesus is greater than all the riots and stuff that's going on in our country. And even though the principalities and powers are making every effort that they possibly can to prove that they are the best and the biggest and the baddest, they know they've already been beat down. And it's all just a bluff. It's all just a show. Oh, their heart's in it. They're trying their best to make it not true. But you and I can choose. Are we going to believe lies that our eyes tell us are true? Or are we going to believe what Jesus has said and that stands for eternity in the midst of everything we see? I find it interesting. After Jesus rose, the disciples had seen him. They had seen him. They knew he was alive. They knew he was not in the tomb. And they were gathered in a room with all the doors locked for fear of the Jews. For fear of the Jews. Why were they there? If Jesus was alive, just like he said he was going to be, what did they have to fear from the Jews? You see, they didn't understand. But you look at what happened to them after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they didn't care anymore. We ought to obey God rather than men. You tell us we can't speak this name, we're not going to shut up. We're not going to stop speaking this name because He told us to speak His name. He told us that He has won the battle. And we believe Him. We don't believe you. And we're not going to listen to you because we're listening to Him. And look what happened. Look what happened. I'd like to challenge us this morning. Don't be troubled. Do not be troubled. Don't let your heart be in a stir, in an uproar. I give you my peace. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Excuse me. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. How does the world give? The world gives in order to control. Jesus gives in order to give freedom. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer. Take courage, take confidence, and go forth in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who has won the victory over all. And the day is soon coming when He will defeat all and destroy all enemies. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank You for this word that You've given to us. There's so many things around us, Lord, that are troubling. The pressures, the uncertainties, all the things that come up that we don't know what to do with. We've never been here before. And yet You are there. You're here. You're with us. You give us Your peace. And we pray, dear Father, that You help each of us to be of good cheer, to not let our heart be troubled, but to have confidence in You, in Your truth, and what You have for us. We bless Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.